Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
We are off and rolling on a Wednesday. Our number one in the books, lickety split, ready to attack this second hour. We still have so much to get to. We opened up talking about really our crosstalk with Stoke and Josh about the Jonte Porter situation. We'll go back to that. Banned for life from the NBA.
Man, that's crazy.
Oh my gosh. But and there's still plenty of meat left on that bone. And I have a bit of a theory that I would like to share with you, see what you think of it. We transitioned to the Nuggets. We were talking about the Avalanche and going on the road to start their series. Then you have the Courtland Sutton situation, and could a first-round wide receiver be in play if they're making succession plans? So a lot of stuff. But I wanted to shift gears here because in a couple days, Phil, we are going to start a kind of a new journey here, man. Kind of a new journey. And you're doing this for the first time, and I'm like thrilled for you.
Mm.
Because this has been a fun ride of a regular season for both teams for different reasons.
It has.
I mean, think about all the storylines with the Avs, the goaltending situation, the Nathan McKinnon point streak.
The Val stuff still came back up.
The Val stuff came back up. He went away, came back. it's been wild. And the Nuggets defending a championship, and Jokic another MVP, double MVP seasons.
Yep.
And we believe that's still going to happen. It's been great, but there's nothing like when your season's on the line. There's nothing like it, where every shift
playoffs
or possession matters so much, and it's just a different kind of journey, and it's intense. And the fact that championships is the legitimate aim for both teams in the same city, I just pack a lunch and buckle up, brother.
And what's crazy about it is, Zach, both our teams are just not in the playoffs, right? Like, for example, if the Denver Broncos would have made their way into a wild card, we're not still thinking, oh, they're going to go to a Super Bowl. We don't think that they have a chance, but we're happy they're there.
Yeah.
But with the Colorado Avalanche, with the Denver Nuggets, it's right in front of their faces, right in front of our faces, where we could be having two parades.
Yeah.
It could happen. It truly can, and we have the firepower to do it. You know, now, I think both teams have different obstacles that they're going to have to jump over.
Yeah.
I think the Colorado Avalanche have bigger obstacles that they're going to have to jump over. But this is playoff hockey. It's playoff basketball. Anything happens. Anything can go. I'm just excited to see different changes of paces, right, when it comes to the basketball and how it's played to how the hockey in the playoffs is going to be played. It's just two different ways of looking at things, and the speed is just going to be different.
Yeah, the speed is different. The intensity is different. The importance that hangs in the balance with each and every game and what a win and what a loss means for a series. I mean, it's hysterically fun, and for someone like me who didn't like live the life of a pro athlete at any point, it reminds me why I initially like got in the business.
Love sports.
For like this window of time. And speaking of this window in time, it's been a special window in Denver sports. The Avalanche, and this is what I really want to get to here. The Avalanche have what most people believe the best core in hockey.
For sure.
The MVP, Nathan McKinnon.
Sounds good.
Even you know, he didn't win the Hart Trophy last year, but hockey people know that's one of the five best players in the world.
Yeah.
So you have one of the best players in the world who's at his best season. You have Cale Makar, who's just a record-setting dynamo. You have Mikko. You got Val. I mean, we could say you have the best player in the world right now. You have two of the top five. You have three of the top 12. You have four of the top 20. That's what type of core the Avalanche have. And then on the Nuggets side, they have the best player in the world. And they're the reigning champs. So here's my question, and I want to extend this to the RamosLaw.com text line.
They got the best starting five, too, Zach.
Throw that in there, too.
You got to throw it in there.
Absolutely. Best starting five in the NBA to go with the best player in the world. That's a winning combination. What would be more disappointing? All right? RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Kamaje and Drew will monitor your guys' responses here, and we can get you guys involved. But what would be more disappointing? This core of McKinnon, McCarr, Miko, Val, finishing with just one Stanley Cup, or Jokic finishing with just one NBA title? What would be more disappointing if we were to look at it? Obviously, this is the way we started. We want, obviously, both teams to win. We want to stack parades.
For sure.
But if we turn the coin over and say, what would be more disappointing if the Avalanche and this core finishes their run with just one Stanley Cup, or Jokic, the best player in the world with the best starting five in the world, finish with only one NBA title? What would be more disappointing?
Ooh, this is a tough one, Zach. This is a tough one. Because there, you can... I feel like there's no wrong answer. You know, I truly do.
I agree.
When you go through this exercise that we're going through, and you weigh the pros and the cons on both sides, it's hard to decide who you would go for. But I think that if the Denver Nuggets go with the best player in the world, okay, and the best starting five in the world, and they don't win another championship in the window that they have, I think that's going to be the one for me.
That would be more disappointing for
you. Yeah, I just, the hype around it, okay, the dominance that we have shown this year, last year, and for them to, if they can have someone like KCP come back after this year, you know, you have a window, and the great people find ways to win multiple championships, the LeBron James, people like that.
Yep.
You have to do that. You have to do that.
Ultimately, and I agree, going back to the start of your answer, reasonable minds can disagree on this.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I do agree that it would be more disappointing if Jokic and this team only won one. For a lot of the reasons that you kind of touched on, but it's the sport itself lends itself to more repeat champions. The NBA's history is basically all about repeat champions, just to be totally honest with you. Now, the NHL has plenty of repeat champions, okay? I'm not saying that that's not the case. I mean, the NHL, we saw Tampa just a couple years ago go back-to-back. We saw the Penguins 16-17 go back-to-back. The Blackhawks had a run. The Kings won a pair. So it goes like that. But the NBA is so much different where five guys play at once. And I know that's true in hockey, along with the goalie, of course, but Nathan MacKinnon will play 25, 26 minutes of 60 minutes. He doesn't play half the game. He got four lines, you know? And if you have the best player in the world, if you look at...
That's hard because you're looking at Nathan MacKinnon, and some people are saying he may be the best player in the world.
I think it is, but I think the sport itself not works against MacKinnon, but basketball just lends itself more than hockey.
Okay.
Because in a 48-minute game, Jokic can play 40 minutes.
Yeah.
40 of the 48, and we'll see him do it. MacKinnon's not playing 40 of the 60. It's impossible. It's just it's too... You can't go max effort every shift. Yeah, too strenuous. Perfect word. So I think because of that, and if you look at NBA history, what player that's in the greatest of all time conversation didn't win multiple championships?
Well, that's where I'm going with that whole situation with Jokic is he has to win multiple championships. He has the MVPs now, three of them.
Yes, he will have three of them. Yeah, could have been four.
Right? He's had a championship MVP, but he needs to stack more championships. That's how you become the greatest of all time kind of scenario. But that's the same when it comes to hockey. My thing is, which kind of makes me want to jump back on the hockey as being like one of those situations where I'd probably be more upset if they don't win, because you have this time period longer, a longer stretch to have these superstars than the Denver Nuggets will. They've been able to have a lot of these superstars for many years.
Yeah, hockey, a lot of these guys play deeper into their
for
30s.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and the contracts seem to be longer.
Yeah.
Right? 8 years, 7 years, like things like that.
Sure.
Where it's like,
sure.
You mean to tell me you're getting these best players in the world, not just one, but you have a couple of them that are top five, and you can only come up with one championship?
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off about this whole situation. It's because it's like, I would say the Denver Nuggets, and I'm going to stick with the Denver Nuggets, but also to be on the other side with the Colorado Avalanche, you guys have all these opportunities to have these players for so long, and yet you can't find a way to get out the second round. But the first time you do get out the second round, you win it all. Like, that's the issue.
Yeah. So we agree. We agree that it would be just a little bit more disappointing if Jokic and these Nuggets finished with just one.
Yeah.
It'd be disappointing just in general. That's why we're having the conversation. If you have the best player in the world on the Avs, two of the top five, three of the top 12, yeah, four of the top 20, you should win more.
You should.
You really should. And at the very minimum, you should get out of the second round more than once.
Yes.
And Phil, that's my concern here. That's my concern with this iteration of the Avs, is that they just don't have enough to win multiple series. And, it's not just on one person. It's not just on one person, but just the vibe I have right now, not to be negative, because again, the Avs lost six of their last seven going to the playoffs on their way to a cup.
Yeah.
They lost six of seven. First period, dude, they scored three goals in the first 6 minutes against Nashville.
Yeah, you were saying
that. I was there,
man,
and it was like that.
It got me having chills. Like, man, seeing something like that would be, man, can't make it up.
It was legendary. They put seven on the board, and it was like that Men in Black memory eraser. Not thinking about this losing six of seven. So the vibe can change on a dime if they go into Winnipeg and win game one. But I just...
But tell me this.
From where I sit right now.
You said something where you're like, they just don't have enough. How much more can they have? Like, of course, we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want a goalie. Everybody wants a goalie, right? But when you look at this team, and of course, it's top heavy, but we went and did the things that we thought we needed to do to get over the hump, right? We went and got Casey Mittelstadt. We went and got Sean Walker. When they first got here, it looked like hits. It still does. Sean Walker's still playing really, really good hockey. Now, Casey Mittelstadt, he has to find a way to wake up. And I think that's one of the issues right now for the Colorado Avalanche is you're not getting the high power scoring like we need from our top line.
Right.
And also Casey Mittelstadt not doing his part right now, right? It's hurting us. And then let's not forget old Val. Val has not done anything for us since he's been back from that injury.
No, not really.
And so
not
when
really.
You say like we don't have enough, we have enough. It's just about, are they gonna come together and play the best hockey that they can play as a unit? That's the question, because if that's the case and they do, it's going to be exciting and we will win. But if they don't, and
yeah,
Val doesn't show up,
yeah,
and Casey Mittelstadt plays this poor me, I just got here card, no, it's time. You know, it's time. But if he plays that card, we won't win because Georgiev is not good enough to steal a series.
The Val thing is concerning. He's got one goal in the last 10 games. Oftentimes, you just don't feel him out there.
Yeah.
That's got to change. The Avs do not win the Stanley Cup in 2022 without Val Nichushkin.
Mm.
I believe that. MacKinnon has said as much, nearly. Kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that guy was our best player on a run to a title. He said that last season. If the Avs only win one, what do you forecast being the central reason why?
Bednar? Yeah.
Really?
If it has to fall on somebody, it can't always be the players. Zach. At some point, okay, we've had great players coming in and out of the Colorado Avalanche, and yet we've only been able to get out of the number two spot
in the second round.
Right? One time, and we finally win the cup when you do it. Because I'm telling you this right now, and I'm just new to this, but I'm telling you this right now. If Jared Bednar did not get out of the second round and win that cup, he'd probably would be out of here already.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
Yes, by now, yes, I agree.
And so it's like, okay, you won it once.
But how much time does that buy you? Because they did it. They made it to the mountaintop. It was legendary.
It's what have you done for me lately? It only buys you maybe another year. We want to see it again. This window of having great players, okay, the window's going to close at some point. So you have to capitalize on what we have here. We are spoiled. all right, as Colorado natives and as Colorado people and fans, that we have a great Colorado Avalanche team and a great Denver Nuggets team. But somewhere down the line, that window will close. And if we don't have more championships, who are we going to blame? It's going to be the coach.
What about, by the way, I'm not telling you your criticism's unfair.
Mm.
I'm not telling you that. Do you think that Bednar advocated for Georgie at the trade deadline? Hey, Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic, you guys need to put all the efforts in a second line center.
That is a great question.
You need to put your efforts into the second line center. That's our number one concern. And at that time, you felt better about Georgie. And since then, the wheels have fallen off. And when Bednar goes up and protects Georgie in the press conferences, maybe he's playing more than a psychologist trying to prop up his confidence and maybe a little defense of his own decision making. I'm totally speculating, just asking the question.
Well, no, I want to hear your answer first. I have my answer, but what do you think?
At the time, second line center felt more important, and that's where the resources went.
I agree.
And now you look back and you're like, well, why didn't you make it? This is the worst it's been, and it's coming at the worst time as well. So I think there could be something to that.
Well, tell me this. If Casey Mittelstadt would have continued to do as well as he did at the beginning, and Val was making the shots he did when he came back from rehab and winning overtimes, would the goalie situation be as bad as it is right now, knowing that we were scoring more goals than giving up?
It would feel different, but still the goals that Georgie's given up, he's been put in terrible positions by the guys in front of him.
Yep.
That deserves to get mentioned. But then, dude, a lot of it is just like it's D-minus goaltending. It does not look like anywhere even like top half of the NHL goaltending. We talked about the numbers last week, save percentage. Don't look at the wins, save percentage, goals allowed. I mean, he's ranks farther down the line than there is teams in the NHL.
Oh, no.
I'll say it like this, and this is no disrespect to Georgie. I'm acknowledging the facts. If the Avs went on to win a championship, this would be the most piss-poor goaltending to ever be a part of a Stanley Cup run. That's just what it is.
But you can't just say it's piss-poor on Georgiev's part, because you have to add in there with this, and this is why I feel for Georgiev, and I know why Georgiev went in there, chucked the puck into the arena, and I would have done more. I would have got my skate off and cut.
Yeah, your
defense. I'm gonna look like poop.
Yeah, your defense has to play better. I mean, it's both things are true. This is why the Avs have lost 4 or 5. That the goaltending isn't good and the defense is not playing well. Now let's look to the Nuggets. If the Nuggets only won one championship with the best player in the world and the best starting five in the world, what do you think would be the central reason why?
And they lose it?
If they don't win again. If they only finish with one. If this window, you know, passes and the Nuggets just won one. And let me just say this. I want to weigh in on the Avs real quick before we go. If the Avalanche only won one Stanley Cup and the window closed, I would look back and point to the central reason why it closed would be improper resources poured into the goaltender.
You're still going to go with the goalie situation.
I'm going to go with the goaltender situation, but it's on more than just the human being that's playing goalie.
Okay.
It's on the administration for not addressing it with a heavier hand. Phil, they already overcame poor goaltending on their way to a cup, but this is significantly worse. Both Darcy Kemper and, Pavel Francouz, Frankie, both of those guys are better than each of these guys.
Yeah, we can agree on that.
But to move forward and just say it's so easy a caveman can do it because we have such a great team in front of these guys, it's kind of like running back the Super Bowl 50 roster with Trevor Siemian, thinking that it doesn't matter. We're just so good everywhere else and our defense is so legendary. We can just, doesn't matter who plays quarterback. Could be Peyton, Brock, Trevor. We'll figure it out. And that's not a good plan.
Well, here's the thing with this. We don't have enough money, right? We have superstars that we're paying a lot of money for, all right? We don't have enough money to fork out for another stud goalie. Now, you got to go out there and find one. You got to go out there and help develop one. but we don't have, we can't have our cake and eat it too. You know, we don't have the money like you would in baseball where you can just go and pay for.
Sure, sure.
You know, so you have to find a way to have a balance of having really, really good players in front of the goalie, but also have a decent goalie. In the Avs aspect of things, they were like, we're going to be top heavy. Our offense is going to be able to carry us.
Yeah.
We're not going to be defense heavy.
Yeah.
All right, we're not going to worry so much of the goalie because we have superstars when it comes to scoring goals, and that the way we move the puck around, it's going to be fast pace and high scoring. And I think that's why their mindset is, we rather have this top heavy first line and not worry about the defense and the goalie situation.
Well, we'll see. You're playing an opponent that they are way more talented on, or way more talented than, except for in between the pipes. Because Connor Hellebuck, Georgie could not carry his bags. I mean that respectfully.
Yeah. No, it's the truth. You just got to put the truth out there.
It just is what it is. What's the RamosLaw.com text line saying, KJ?
All right, from the 402-304, they're saying for sure the Nuggets only getting one, as far as that would be the biggest disappointment. As long as you keep the core together, it's easier to do it in the NBA. And they also asked the question, how many cups did Forsberg, Foot, and Wah win?
Mm. Ooh, I mean, they won multiple. They won two, right? I mean, was Forsberg healthy for the second one?
He got knocked out in the second round against LA when he ruptured his spleen.
Right. Oof. But yeah, I mean, Sakic won a pair. Wah won a pair.
And Forsberg technically won a pair. He just wasn't part of the second one.
Yes. Forsberg absolutely belongs a part of that conversation. But, like, what NBA players do we say are the greatest of all time that didn't stack championships? Like, if we think of some of the great, if I were just going through the five greatest players of all time, and don't worry about the order.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan won six.
Yep.
Kareem won five. Yeah. Magic Johnson won four, I believe. Yes. Larry won three. Who else would be a part of that? I don't like putting Wilt in there, but
did you say LeBron?
Oh yeah,
LeBron.
LeBron has won four, I believe. Right, two in Miami, one in Cleveland, and one with the Lakers in 2020.
Yeah.
So I mean, dude, like most of these guys have three or more. Kobe won five. Shaq won four.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of keep going like this. Hockey. How close is hockey to that? I mean, Gretzky won four, right, with Edmonton in the 80s.
Yeah, you go back to the 80s. Like Gretzky won four, Mark Messier won four, all with the same teams.
Sidney Crosby won two.
Sidney's won three.
Oh, he's won three.
Sidney's won three.
Excuse me. Okay.
Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr won two each. Patrick Kane with the Blackhawks, he's won three.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's kind of the same realm.
Okay.
Who needs it more though? Nathan MacKinnon or Jokic?
From a legacy standpoint?
Yeah, for a legacy standpoint.
I would say MacKinnon.
Okay. Because, I would say that too.
Because Jokic is one of nine players ever to win three. We know he's going to win a third MVP here. That's only happened eight other times ever. MacKinnon's trying to win his first MVP in addition to his cup. And when he won the cup, he did not win the Conn Smythe, which goes to the playoff MVP. That was Cale Makar. So I think from a legacy standpoint, it would be MacKinnon. Who needs it a little bit more. But at the end of the day, this is a champagne problem conversation.
It really is.
But we're spoiled here in Denver, and we're about to start a new marathon here this weekend. So although we're here in Avs Monday night.
Possibly. It's either going to be Sunday or Monday. We know it's not going to be Saturday, but it's either going to be Sunday or Monday night for game one.
Okay. Oof. And we know Nuggets Saturday evening on the main stage at 6:30 here locally. So here we go, guys.
Let's go Saturday, Sunday. I want to see Saturday.
I would like that too. I would like that too. All right, good conversation. Shifting gears here. The most accomplished coach in NFL history couldn't get a job this offseason. And now we know why. Wait until you hear this. It's coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One!
All right, wow. The most accomplished coach in the history of football couldn't get a job this offseason. And now we have a peek into why. Man, do you see this article from ESPN? It's got like three different authors on it. Anytime you see three different authors writing one piece, it's a deep dive. And man, Bill Belichick thought he had the Atlanta job wrapped up. He was on Arthur Blank's yacht. He was in his home doing the interview. Thought he had it wrapped up. And you want to know who was the central figure in blocking it? Robert Kraft.
Be your own.
Yes. Robert Kraft called Arthur Blank to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick. And Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on Belichick at the last second. And Kraft, according to this article, Kraft found Bill Belichick to be, quote, extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn and in the end not worthy of his trust. Also very, very, very arrogant, end quote. Damn.
But can you see that from Bill? When you look at Bill and kind of how he goes about his days and about his business, you had a counter with Bill.
I did. Once upon a time. He was not very friendly at all.
Well, there you go.
And I none of this stuff surprises me.
Uh-huh.
But it does. I don't know. Why should it surprise me? If these guys had so much success together, if you believe that, he's no longer your problem. Let him go be who he is somewhere else. But to call and intercept the Falcons from hiring him.
Well, you know how this goes. You know how people are. They're petty. They're petty. They can't just let things go sometimes, especially if the divorce was messy.
Right.
We really don't know how messy that divorce was with Kraft and Belichick.
Well, it must have been awful.
You're right.
Like this new information. I mean, dude, Bill thought he was getting this job, and apparently, it comes out in this article, and it's a long read, but when the Falcons decision makers, like the hiring committee, when Arthur Blank asked them to reveal their list, their own personal list, apparently none of the hiring committee had Belichick in their top three.
Ooh.
That's how bad he turned people off. And I think people might have been fearful that he was going to try to gain too much control. Anyway, the whole thing is like, man, I don't think you'll see Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft in the same room anymore.
I don't think you may never see Belichick be a coach in the NFL again because of this. You know, I just think that people start to talk and they start pillow talking, if you want to call it, and all of a sudden you get pushed out. Just like a player, a coach can be pushed out too.
Sure.
So I'm interested to see if Bill Belichick finds his way back in the NFL or if this is done.
Yeah, apparently things are trending towards him signing with Omaha Productions until January, where he believes he's going to coach again.
Mm.
So we'll see how it ages, but it was Robert Kraft picking up the phone and trying to sabotage Belichick's chances in Atlanta. Pretty crazy.
Oh, Robert.
1, 2!
The Rockies suck, Phil. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Now, thanks for telling me.
4-14. They've played 18 games. They're 4-14. It is the worst record through 18 games in the history of the franchise. And you want to know, it's almost even more like shocking than that. That in 18 games, the Rockies have scored the first run one time. So meaning they have trailed 17 times in 18 games. That is incredible. This might be the catalytic event that might change things over with that organization. Because they've never been this bad. They've never been this bad. And people are slowing down the turnstiles there going into Coors Field.
Oh, it should be. It's bad baseball. You can only look at the sightseeing and eat the fake hot dogs for so long before it's like, okay, I want to see some winning. I want to see some excitement.
Yeah.
I want to see a home run every now and then. I want to see the guy that we paid a lot of money for, Chris Bryant, do something. I think that the Russell Wilson not being here for his contract is not worse than this Chris Bryant signing right now.
Well,
I'm convinced. That's bad, man.
Well, to your point, he is going on the injured list.
Oh, shocker.
So he's already, we're 18 games in. He's already been benched for a game. We've already seen him booed by the hometown crowd. He's already missed a game because of back tightness. And now he's heading to a very familiar territory, the injured list. with lower back
strain. Just let him
strain.
Go. Just let him go.
You can't.
Well, we let Russ go.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? Everybody was okay with letting Russ go. Let him go.
Oh, my God.
Let it go. You know you like the Frozen. Let it go.
Drew.
Yes.
DFA.
Yeah. You could designate Chris Bryant for assignment, which means you have, 10 days to either trade him or send him outright to the minors.
I mean, could you imagine sending a player with a $180 million contract to the minors just because, not to rehab an injury?
Yeah. Or you cut him. I mean, basically, you're cutting him. He's not going to the minors.
Right,
You got 10 days to trade him, or you just cut him and somebody else takes on that deal. I mean, that's the only option.
0% chance anyone would do that.
Just let him go.
Are you sure?
That's someone taking on his deal? There's no one in their right mind.
Dodgers might just be petty.
Goodness. I mean, what a bad situation. It's been bad somehow. It's never been.
But we're not the last team yet.
No. Somehow the Rockies are not the worst team in the sport. Actually, the Rockies have twice as many wins as the White Sox, who have 2 wins.
Oh.
That is.
I hate to be the White Sox.
Dude, holy smokes.
1, 2, 3!
Zion Williamson out for Friday's final play-in game against the Kings.
Mm.
Now, I was watching that game. I think the Pelicans win if he doesn't get hurt in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was watching it too.
How much time was left? I forget how much time was left. It was like just
there wasn't
minutes
a lot
left. But they came storming back. Freaking ties the game. I mean, they were down. They were down legitimately in the fourth quarter. They come all the way back. They tie it. Zion goes down, and it's just hanging there. What if the Pelicans won that game and started their series this weekend against the Nuggets with no Zion? He's got a hamstring injury. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, the first round's going to be over.
Yeah.
It's the Lakers, it's all good, but man, that would have been, you talk about path of least resistance and like finishing a series quick, the Pelicans without Zion, that would have been a sweep.
Oh, for sure, and just for Zion to be playing, okay, and seeing him score 40 points, that felt good to see, like literally, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like Zion, like back in the day was one of the biggest talked about stars.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy, and then when you need him the most, he isn't healthy. So it was suck to see, it sucked to see that. But I'm okay with the Lakers going, and I think we're going to handle business.
Yeah. And we'll circle back to that here in just a second here. But Zion was finally looking good. You guys realize Zion's been in the league for 5 years?
How many games has he played total? It can't be that much, right?
Guess.
105.
184.
Wow.
But being in the league for 5 years, less than 200 games played. And now he's going to try to get paid, right? I mean, so it's like, we'll see how it all ages. We'll see how it all ages. All right. It's the Fan Flyaway, guys. It's back, presented by Sport Clips. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get: 2 tickets to a game, round trip airfare for you and a friend, 2 nights hotel stay, and $500. It's an incredible package. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from my friends at Sport Clips. Those of you who previously entered to a fan flyaway contest, good news, you're already part of the club and you're already entered into this one. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future flyaway contests. Take the 60 seconds and throw your hat in the ring there. Doesn't cost anything to register. Okay. What do we make of the CU Buffs' new recruiting approach? Cutting edge or desperate? That's coming up next. What do we make of the Colorado Buffaloes' new portal approach? Cutting edge or desperate? Really interesting. Really interesting. And I want to talk this out because I think I know how I feel, but I'm open and receptive to a different point of view, an opposing viewpoint.
Yeah.
See what our listeners on the RamosLaw.com text line say. I know you saw if you were online yesterday and you're part of this kind of Colorado sports community online, I'm sure you saw the screenshots of Shiloh Sanders on Instagram asking defensive players who are hitting the portal to DM him and for offensive players hitting the portal to DM his brother Shador. Now, he said below this post, this is not last chance you. What do you think he's trying to say with that last part? And then I'm curious your thoughts on just the general approach that we've never seen before.
This is not last chance you. I don't know. Maybe he's saying, like, if you're good, come here. If you're not, this is not like this is not going to be the chance for you. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I've heard multiple different opinions on this, and they vary. My thought is, it's like if you are soliciting direct messages on Instagram, it's like no riffraff. Like if you're not like a big boy part of this
you're
conversation,
not about it.
Like if you have not made it elsewhere, don't think you're going to come here last chance you and make it. Like,
okay.
Like dudes only.
That makes sense.
Like blue chip dudes only. That was my take on it.
No, it's a great take, Zach, with what's going on with the University of Colorado. This is so fresh. This is so new with the transfer portal and how crazy Coach Prime has made it. It's fascinating. It truly is. Like this
I,
is
I agree
this,
with that
this
part.
This is the NFL free agency on steroids because there's no rules. There's only one rule. There are no rules.
Pretty much.
Like you just go and come as you please. Zach, there was a guy, a young man that just got there from the transfer portal 10 days ago, and now he's already back in the transfer portal.
Is that right?
Yes.
At Colorado. Oh, my
god. Like, what are we doing? I guess if it's going to happen to anybody, it's good to be happening with us because you're getting talent that's wanting to come in, but also you're weeding out players that we thought may be good, but they're not, and that's why they're hitting the portal because they're not getting the time on the field. That's what it's kind of telling me. That's the only thing I can think of.
What about the recruiting approach on Instagram? Like, I can't decide whether it's brilliant or if it represents like chaos and instability.
Now you're talking about the young men recruiting pretty much, right?
Yeah,
like Shilohs and Shadors. I think it's brilliant. Like nobody's gonna be able to get to another college kid like a college kid would, right? I would do it at times. I would see some of my friends, and I'm like, hey,
you
should come over here.
Sure, sure.
If you're going to transfer, like, come back to Colorado. Like, why not? Let's make a dynasty, something like that. So I think it's brilliant because not only do you want the coaches out there trying to recruit, but you want your players out there trying to recruit. Like, it's a hands-on deck, everybody's involved kind of situation. Why not?
Okay, good thought. And if you've been if you're a college athlete and a lot of times like everyone comes home for the summer, like those conversations happen all the time. Like what's going on over here? Have you thought about a kid, and that's who these guys are. They're kids still.
Yep.
There is probably more comfortability doing the super informal DM on Instagram as opposed to like getting your high school coach involved to contact a coach at Colorado. Is there space for me?
Yeah.
I could see value in that, but where I'm at is if this roster was as loaded as everyone tells me it is, are we soliciting direct messages on Instagram during the spring portal? It's like where are we at with this roster?
Yeah, I think it's a scenario where like you get to the point where you're selfish and you're like, you want more. And if there's somebody out there that looks better, you want him. And because you can have him and you can pay for him and it's easy to get him because he can just jump into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not? If there's somebody that's kind of decent, but this guy is better and he's going to the NFL, why would we not take him? And on top of that, Zach, when you go on a recruiting visit, who are you usually with?
Dudes.
Exactly. So it's easier if you just have the Shilohs and the Shadors, the ones that are going to the NFL. Shador being a top five pick is looking like having them talk to another player, another kid, it just goes off well because now you can kind of get what's really going down over there.
Oh, man.
Do you think that if another team could do what Coach Prime is doing right now, they would be doing it?
But what is Coach Prime doing? That's my question. Like, I'm having
access to every single kid he probably pretty much wants. Having the ability to bring a kid in, but if he doesn't want him after bringing him in, he can get rid of him for somebody else. Having that where it's not, I'm not tied to you.
See, but this is part of, you know, I want to give a little bit of pushback on the question. What is actually happening?
Yeah.
And what are the expectations if things are going down the way that so many people around the country are, and especially here in the state, are telling me the way it's going down? And I want to have that conversation with you coming up next.